So yeah, it was like, well, it's one of those things. It got drawn out. I literally thought I was going to end up with no club, and then Saint-André went to Sale as a coach.
Oh, right.
And I knew Saint-André could build a team.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He can build a team, and he can get the best out of that group of players. You know, he's won the Premier. You know, that Sale team. You know, minus me because I didn't last long. I retired. Went on to win the Premiership in 2006. He then got a team that went on and won the French Championship, you know, in France. So, you know, you knew that he could build a team. He could convince the owner to put the money into to get the best players and do something with it.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, massively passionate and emotional. You could get the, you know, he was always, you must have a big heart and big bollocks was his, you know, that was his team meeting, you know, and that was before the game. And, you know, you knew that he could get the best out of you. So that came along and that was, and look, it didn't work out. I got injuries came back. I suffered a new injury, lower back injury. Was that off the back of no rest and going, you know, 15, 16 odd test matches back to back and over such a short period, and then straight back into rugby and not really thinking about your longevity or rest. So was that a consequence of that? I went on tour 2004. Should I have gone on tour? Probably not. My body was probably saying no. And then once that happens, you open yourself up to injuries probably. And I got injured, and it was an injury that I couldn't come back from.
So you were 28 then?
Yeah, 28 I think I was then.
And that was the end of your playing career?
Yeah. Yeah, that was done. That was done. So you're at the lowest point possible then.
I was going to say,
how
did you feel about that?
You're at the lowest point possible because that's the way you earn, that's my living.
Yeah.
You know, how long, you know, that's been taken away. Back then, if you didn't play for 3 months, your contract's torn up, so it's not as if there was no real protection around you unless you had your own personal insurance or the RPA would have some insurance. But for me, it was still to get back playing. Can I find someone that can find what's wrong? Can we fix it?
So what was the problem?
Basically, it came down to I had a stress fracture in my lower back is what they could put it down to.
Right.
So in my vertebrae. So obviously, that had gone in a one-off incident. On the train, all my injuries came from training, not necessarily playing. They always came from training, and that
was
then created.
What was around that area?
L5.
Because you had the neck as well. You said
neck was your neck was C5 and L5. So the neck was the one before, and then my lower back. So and obviously with that instability of your vertebrae, being in the front row is probably the worst place for it because you're being put under pressure all the time, constant pressure, twisting, turning, you know, at real awkward angles, and there was no way back. And could I have had it fused to keep playing? Well, you suddenly take away a disc and fuse it, the pressure's on the discs above.
Yeah.
I don't think they look great personally.
Yeah.
How long could I have lasted? They might have gone 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, a year, no one knows. And it just wasn't really, the doctor, you know, the surgeon had to sit me down and go, look, what more do you need to achieve?
Well, yeah.
And I'm like, well, there's a Lions tour next year. I want 50 caps for England.
Yeah.
You know, because 50 caps was the mark. When at 50 caps, you become an, you know, really respected international at 50 caps, once you get your 50 caps and above. I said, I want to achieve that. And he went, well, I don't think you can.
Yeah.
He was like, so you sort of like come away from that, you know. It's interesting. Again, I spoke to Teague, and, you know, we're talking about it, and, you know, I said, well, I want what you got. I said, I want that red jersey. And he came out of a class that he goes, I want what you got.
What World Cup medal?
And you think 91, and he's had to live with losing that. You know, that England team had to live with losing one.
Yeah.
and you suddenly put it into perspective, then like you probably can't always get what you want out of it, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, and I always say I only got 22 caps. You know, I should be over the moon and excited and that, but somewhere in my head it was like 50.
Yeah.
You know, but at one point there could have only been one.
Is this all a reflection of the pressure of the modern game? Not just on you specifically, but the amount of injuries that seem to occur these days, across the piece, professional rugby players.
I've got to look at it and go, and I need to look at the, you know, glass half full or half empty in terms of my career, and just go, well, there's some people that never even had the opportunity to do what I'd done.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't get out of under 20s or under 21s because an injury held them back or something, or you know, something more severe has happened, and you've got to look at that, and you've got to probably flip your thinking and your mindset, and but the competitor in you always goes, there's always more, you know. But you can't do it, you know, you can't do it. So after
but that's always been there, and then people always want to achieve more. I just wonder whether, to what extent, the game needs to change to stop this sort of thing happening.
Well, I think the game's completely different now. Like, you're monitored so closely.
Right.
Like, so injury's always going to be part and parcel of a game, but you shouldn't be getting injured through overplaying or.
So how do they mitigate that?
Well, you get those so much. Well, you got GPS systems. You got your minutes are monitored, you know, like rest periods, like there's so much more rest period, don't train so long.
So you're saying it's better now than
it was?
Yeah,
so much better.
Oh,
you know, so much better, like training shorter.
Yeah.
They might have to do more in terms of monitoring, and there might be more sort of like little skill blocks that go on, but the contact doesn't exist, the length of training doesn't exist, everything.
How do you mean the contact doesn't exist?
In training, you split off into groups, and you practice sort of your clean out technique, but it's not bone on bone. It's, you know, you've designed a little pad, and it's not 100% all the time. It's at a certain level,
right.
You know, because more coaches have probably come in, the game's got more technical. So if you work on the technique a bit more, you're not having to do 30 scrums a week to get it right, because you got video analysis, you can do individual stuff. You know, what did we do before last week's game against Exeter? We probably done, I think the starting front row would have done 4 scrums in the week.
Really?
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
Because you put the
different world.
Because you put the pressure on them to get it right, really. You say, boys, I'm not going to keep going. If I say it's 4 scrums, it's 4 scrums.
Yeah.
If 3 hit the deck and we get 1, that's it.
Right.
Because you are monitored by time a little bit as well, because, you know, then Skibs wants to do line out and mauling. And I can't say I'm having 30 minutes to do scrums. So you break down each part of the game into smaller groups, which then takes away the long training sessions. The bone on bone contact, you know, during the week. So there's so many things now where you're monitored.
So you think it's better now, that it's improved the injury rate and the problems.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say the injury rate. I think the game is still very physical.
I think you've got bigger men, faster men, fitter men. Hitting each other,
higher
speed.
But each player is trained physically to be prepared for those hits. So you are probably everyone's got stronger, but has that made you more durable? Maybe sometimes, maybe not. But you know, you're never going to eradicate all injuries from the game. You know. You take last weekend, I think 3 or 4 players' gum shields went off.
Yeah.
So the gum shields are monitored to the sideline computer. Now, if the computer goes off, we need to check in. So off he comes, they go into the medical room, they get put through a test that they've done at the beginning of the year. If they within the same parameters of when they've done it at the beginning of the year, they're allowed to go back on. If not, they don't go back on. And that's just off the gum shield.
Wow.
So if you get, so a head collision or something that's rattled, that has set that off, there's player protection there. Like, is it, complete foolproof and 100% protection? No, it's not, because I think rugby's a contact game and you never know which way you're going to get hit from sometimes, or you never know what's going to happen. So it's not, but it's there to protect the players. So there is so much more that's going on, and I think there's so much going on in the background where people want to make sure that this game survives in its format, and it's a contact game and a physical game, but it's got to be protection for the players in the long run, and that's what we want. But as a coach myself, I'm fully aware of what was taken away from me through injury, where I don't want to put someone in that position either. So let's try and coach them well, whether I get it right or wrong all the time, don't know, but try and coach them well technically. There's the physical prep that the other side of the department do to make sure that they do have long careers.